ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Blind Handyman Show. This being show number 156, May the 2nd, 2006. We're recording right now at the Little Ranch House Studio in Southwood Drive in Lufkin, Texas. For the next hour, we're going to be cooking in the dark with Dale Campbell. Hi, Dale.
Hey, Mr. Houston. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. It's good to have you with us.
Thank you.
Our host for the show, Don Shaw.
Hey, Mr. Tom. What in the world is going with you today?
Oh, man, I'll tell you. I don't know. I do know Don Patterson's on assignment this week.
On assignment, huh?
Yeah, he's not here.
That's a hell of a deal, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It really is.
My name's Tom Houston, but here he is, ladies and gentlemen, the creator, producer of the Blind Handyman Show, Phil Parr.
Yeah, we went overboard a little bit. Pulled the trim back down. I gave you the wrong instructions. That's much better. Dale Campbell, sir, how are you?
Man, I'm doing great, Mr. Parr. How are you?
I'm just fine, and I've got went in today at noon and checked my email. My internet's back up for the first time since Friday afternoon.
Woo!
And it's like being out of touch with the world. I mean, it's like you're not connected
anymore.
It is. It is terrible.
It was. Yeah. It was just awful. So
you don't really, you never realize how much you rely on it until it's gone.
I'll get you that information tomorrow morning, sir.
Okay.
I have to.
Yeah, we're all boxed up and.
Oh, you're ready to go, huh?
Ready to go to the old FedEx department. We'll probably get there tomorrow.
Probably gotta have T-shirts for the wives. You know, gotta have.
Good-looking blind handyman T-shirt.
Yeah, for our wives, we got them, but we didn't get any for our ladies. And I figure if we go anywhere and wear ours, they'll be mad at us like they would normally are anyway.
Too bad they don't have the same vision you guys have. You could have gotten them the "Too Much Sex Causes Blindness" shirt.
I could. My wife won't let me wear that anywhere.
Yeah,
she won't let me wear that out in public. I don't understand why.
I just play dumb sometimes. Oh, I didn't know I had that on.
I didn't realize I had
that
on.
And Candace goes, "Well, it's tactile. You can feel it if you look." I'm like, "Oh yeah, well, okay."
are they afraid that that's true?
I believe so. People ask me all the time, you know, what's up with Candace? And I said, well, she had to get glasses last year.
Yeah.
And we're working on it.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
It takes a little time.
Glasses. My wife wears contacts.
See, there you go.
So I don't know.
It's true. It's got to be.
What is it? Guy said, happy marriage is an oxymoron. It's not.
Yes, it is.
No, that's only kidding.
As long as she's happy, it's a marriage, right?
Wife and I told her, we had our 15th anniversary, and said, you know, I've been married 10 happy years, 10 out of 15 is not bad. Of course, I didn't get, no one spoke to me for the next 2 weeks. So
don't you hate it when you're honest like that?
I do. All right, what are we cooking today, sir?
Today we're going to do kind of a little skillet chicken rice casserole.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to come up with dessert with a pretty easy cherry cobbler.
All right.
So pretty easy. One thing we're going to make to go with this meal, I'd suggest for this chicken casserole, if you will, is just a nice green salad or something would be awesome on the side. Or a fruit dish. We're going to prepare some cantaloupe and kind of just a little fruit dish as well, if we have time on the backside.
Yeah.
Which is nothing more, everybody, than just some, you know, chopped up apples or grapes or bananas or cantaloupe, whatever kind of fruit you have around, but sometimes that goes nice, especially in the summertime.
That's it.
All available and handy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's time for some of that fresh fruit to start rolling in, isn't it?
It is time. Yes, it is. The sweet onions are in, so I know Bob Bartlett's happy.
A happy camper, huh?
He likes those things.
She likes those.
In fact, we had a recipe come across the Cooking in the Dark list not too long ago that was for barbecued Vidalia onions.
Oh, no kidding?
You just slice them down into like half-inch slices, put them on your indoor grill.
Wow.
And just paste them, you know, paint on some barbecue sauce, if you will.
Really?
Just put a little barbecue sauce on them and grill them for about 10 minutes. And it's supposed to be delicious. I haven't made those yet.
I order Vidalia onions from a place called Bland Farms.
Right.
And I don't know if they're any better, but my wife thinks they are, and we let her pay for them. So I get a big box of them, about 3 boxes a year, and my box of onions will come in next week.
All right.
So I may have to try this barbecued onion.
And, you know, Bartlett also sent me a recipe for an onion pie.
Boy.
He swears by. He loves it.
What's an onion pie?
A pie made out of basically just chopped up sweet onions and little cheese, you know, some cheddar cheese mixed into it as well, I believe.
Really?
Yeah.
Can you taste?
I had that recipe quite a while back. I haven't looked at it.
Can you taste the onions?
Oh, yeah.
In it?
But it's not a real, you know.
Yeah.
It's not a like a raw, eating the onion right out of the...
It's not overpowering.
Not an overpowering taste. I mean, I think a lot of the other ingredients kind of help to quell the taste of the onion, that sharp taste of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then sweet onions anyway.
Oh, yeah.
We went to a little barbecue place the other night, and the guy actually cooked his own barbecue, ribs and beef, and the man was eating hush puppies. He said, "Damn, these hush puppies are full of onions. He must make these himself."
Yes.
So we asked him, and he said, "No, he bought them at Sam's."
Wow.
Really?
So, you know, at least he was honest.
Was it batter? I mean, did he have to mix them up? Or were they already?
No, they're already, he just drops them in the oil and deep fries them.
Well, I may have to buy some of those.
I was wondering the same thing. I wonder, you know.
Now, that's the way to go. The worst part about doing hush puppies is making them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, getting them formed. Once you get them formed, they're nothing to cook.
But these are just, I guess he just, because, and they were really good. So, I might look at that.
Go ahead.
Hush puppies are something I've never attempted that. That's beyond my culinary skills.
That's one thing I would like to be able to do is form a hush puppy. Now, I've done hush puppies. Well, they all look so ridiculous. I mean, they don't look like hush puppies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe what they taste like, though.
Yes, hush puppies.
Get your blind cooking friend to tell you how to do them. Maybe we could do those on some show sometime.
Yeah,
that
hush
would be
puppies. That'd be good.
That's the way to go.
That'd be good.
That really would be.
Before we get too far away from barbecue and grilling, though, and this pertains to cooking, so.
Yeah.
But, Dale, you know, you was talking about, I finally broke down and purchased a propane backyard grill.
Right on.
Talking about grilling. And, man, I got to tell you, that damn thing sure is convenient.
It is great, isn't it?
Not to have to fool with that charcoal and lighting the fire and all that.
Now, if you make you a little, what I did with mine, I took an old soda can. Well, it's actually a 16-ounce hot, you know, tall boy beer can.
Yeah.
But I kind of split it from top to bottom and opened it so it kind of just opens up, like cut it along each top and bottom a little bit, split each end so it opens up easier, kind of like a door is opening.
Yeah.
And then I've put wood chips in that.
Well.
And then I'll set that down on the bottom and grill.
That'll work. And that's what I was going to tell you. I bought a thing to go with this grill called a smoker box.
Right.
That's really what I wanted to talk about, this part of this grilling.
Yeah, that has holes all around it?
And it's a cast iron gizmo, a fairly thick cast iron, and it's got vent holes on the top of the lid that's removable. And you put, you know, same kind of deal like you're talking about, except being cast iron, it heats really quick. And you put your wood chips in that, put the lid on, and it's, man, you're good to go with a lot of wood smoke. And I tell you, between the convenience of charcoal, having the wood smoke, I mean, it's great.
Oh,
it's
really
super.
You just can't beat it. Now, don't do what I did.
Which is?
When I was done using it, I'd take those tools, same ones that you've got.
Yeah, those are.
And I'd lay them on top of the grill. Well, until the next time I was going to use them.
Yeah.
Well, one thing led to another, and stuff got moved around, and I didn't realize they were on top of my grill.
I know what's coming.
Fired that dude up, because what I'll do is I'll go out, start it, you know, and put it on about medium, both sides of the burner on about medium heat, close the lid, and just let it warm up. And usually in the time that it takes me to come back inside, get the meat or get the, you know, whatever we're putting on the grill.
It's ready to go.
Go back out, warmed up. Boy, is it. Next thing I reached in there, and I'm like, what's laying there? Oh, my tools. So I started scooting them out, and some of them were already on fire, and
man.
And you melted the plastic handles.
Well, they're wood handles.
They're wood.
So they fired up real quick.
Yeah, I bet.
My tongs, the metal, you know, the stainless steel, it's a real heavy-tempered stainless steel, too.
It is.
I mean, they're so great, because they fit in your hands nice, you know, and they're kind of cut, the handles, you've got little finger slots, and they're really nice the way they're made. Nice, big, thick handles, too. So
nice, thick
nice
wood.
Yeah.
I tell you what, it's like kindling if you put it on top of your grill.
I'm sure.
And leave it there for about 10 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you just open the grill and lit it without realizing that your tools were there.
Yeah, because, I crack it and pop it because we've got that, you know, it's got that push button, that igniter, which it just sparks down by the gas.
Yeah.
And did that and closed the lid, didn't think twice about it. Back in because I had thought that Candace had moved the tools inside the last time we grilled out there, but well.
You're not trying to blame her for this.
No, not at all. No, it's my fault. I should have looked.
That's right. You should have looked.
Stupid.
You can't. The only thing, I've had several gas grills at different times. The only thing, boy, gas, propane is unforgiving. I mean, if you drip grease in it and you start a fire, you've got a fire, kids.
Yep, yep, that's why.
Charcoal.
I think one thing I've learned to do is, at first when I put anything on there, I'll sear it.
Yeah.
And then turn, like, one side of the, just one side of the burner off, you know, of the grilling area.
And put it over there, yeah.
I'll put the meat on that side and then throw it on the other, you know, keep the fire medium low to medium on.
But it is so much more convenient than, because you just, if you decide you want hamburgers at 6 o'clock and you decide that at 5:30, you just, you can do it, you know.
Yeah, that's
right.
You got burgers by 5:50 if you want them.
The convenience of them is just, is amazing. I don't know, if you put side by side a charcoal burger and a gas grill burger, could you tell the difference?
I think it was just over the gas without, you know, some extra wood or something in there. Yeah, you might be able to.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can kind of taste that charcoal taste.
Yeah.
But it just depends.
But now, if you put the wood chips in.
If somebody uses that crazy charcoal that you know, has got the lighter fluid already in it.
Yeah.
I can taste that.
Oh, yeah. That's
yeah.
Sure.
It's
yeah.
got that nasty taste.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, unless
that charcoal lighter taste.
You got to let it burn off a long time.
Yeah,
before you,
a long time.
I always say my theory is always, if I go outside and I can't smell it, then it's ready to cook on.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Hey, let me catch y'all up to speed here, what I've done real quick.
All right,
okay.
Go ahead.
Big skillet in that big old, probably 3-quart chicken roaster skillet thing we've got.
Big, deep skillet.
Have put a round of, well, probably 2 rounds, actually, about a, maybe a quarter cup, not quite a quarter cup, of olive oil
okay.
in the bottom. When I say a round, I just hold the bottle and go around the pan once. That's 1 round. Just pour it inside it. Go around it twice. You got 2 rounds.
Okay.
What I've done is gotten this oil hot, and then I've added a cup of just white rice. Now, you can use long grain rice. You can use brown rice. If you have a rice favorite, you can use that. And the heat is on about a medium, just about medium heat. What I'm doing is it's basically browning this rice, or cooking, frying this rice, if you will,
yeah.
in this olive oil, similarly to what you would do if you were making Spanish rice. Except the next step, instead of adding tomato sauce and stuff, you know, different things that way, we're going to go a different route with it.
Okay.
But I wanted to brown this rice first, or fry it this way, because it actually creates, it kind of gives the rice a nutty taste.
Yeah.
Which is one thing I'm after, to complement the yeah. chicken dish.
Before we get too far away from olive oil, what I do is I have a little container that's, it's just a little small, tiny Tupperware container that would probably hold 2 cups. I fill it with olive oil and put it in the freezer and leave it for a day, and then I set it back in the fridge, and when you want to use olive oil, you just take your hand and scoop out how much you want.
That's right.
Or take a spoon. That way you don't have to pour it. You don't have to wonder how much you got.
You said it remains kind of gel-like, right?
It remains about the consistency of spreadable butter. And you just take a spoon and stick it down in there and see how much is in your spoon and plop it in the skillet. And, of course, it's going to melt. And, you know, when you turn your skillet on. That's just an easier way for me to measure. I eat olive oil on, like, Eggos and toast sometimes. It's not bad, and it's good for you.
Yeah, it is.
Anyway, go ahead.
But that's a good idea. I mean, you've been the topic of conversations on the cooking list as well with that.
With that olive oil thing?
Uh-huh.
Is that
they
right?
They know different things about this, and they'd heard it on the show, and yada, yada, yada.
So. Olive oil is the best to cook with, I mean, as far as nutrition.
Oh, totally.
Much better than Wesson or anything.
And then the other thing that's wild about olive oil is, you know, if depending on where it's grown, it's like wine. It'll have different flavors.
Yeah, you said that, and different, depending on where it's grown and if it's virgin or extra virgin or, you know.
Yeah, and actually the extra virgin is the juice or the oil, if you will, the juice.
Yeah.
That comes directly from the very first squeezing.
That's the first pressing.
The first pressing, and that will be the stuff that has that comes close to tasting, having the real taste.
Yeah.
And another hint that we learned was if you go to cook with or use olive oil, if you're going to cook with it, don't buy the most inexpensive that you can find as far as it goes that way. But if you're going to be using it
as a spread, if you're going to use it as butter,
taste,
yeah.
you want to spend the extra money to use an extra virgin olive oil.
That makes sense. If you think about it.
But if you're just using it as grease, like you're doing with this rice, it's hard to use the cheap stuff.
Yes.
Okay.
Hmm. Yeah, because you're not going to taste it as much when it starts to cook down.
Go ahead. I didn't mean to get in your way.
Oh,
you?
No. That's awesome.
So you
awesome.
got rice and olive oil in the skillet.
Rice, olive oil. We just added about a half of a white onion diced up.
All right.
And I'm going to be tossing in a carrot that I've diced up. Actually, more or less just sliced down.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good...
Well, you had me till you did the carrot. I don't like carrots. I don't know why, but I don't. I know they're good for your eyes. They're good for your eyes, but they aren't going to do a damn thing for me.
They haven't helped very much. Yeah.
But a lot of people... My wife eats raw carrots. I mean, she'll come home and just... She's got a little sack full of carrots and broccoli, and she'll just eat that.
Yeah.
Get out of town.
I like a carrot.
Man, that's good stuff.
I'll have a can of mushroom soup, you know?
There you go.
She won't eat that. Okay, so carrots. She won't. Carrots and onions and rice and stir it all. You know, I hear you stirring it, ladling it all around.
Yeah, now what I'm breaking out here is a little bowl, little jar to mix up some chicken broth.
All right.
And basically this dish is pretty maintenance free. Get some hot water going here.
All right.
While that's happening, I'm going to take my chicken bouillon cube and just dice it up.
Yeah. You're in.
Yeah, I'm kind of just slicing it diagonally.
Mm. Oh, that's the weather radio.
The old weather radio.
Storm danger.
Yeah.
Anti-M.
Tornado.
Well, that is the general coverage weather radio that covers all counties.
Oh, wow.
This weather's radio. I've got one that's county specific that, you know, unless it involves Angelina County, it doesn't go off in the house. But this one goes off if there's an alert. It doesn't make any difference what county it's in, as long as it's this weather station serves it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it may not be for us.
Probably isn't.
Houston
may
have to spend the night.
That's true. Wouldn't you hate it if that happened?
Oh, he wouldn't hate it. I got plenty of beer and plenty of groceries. He wouldn't give
it. That's what I'm saying.
He wouldn't care.
We got some good news and some bad news. Bad news is...
Yeah.
We're almost out of beer.
No, we're not. We went across the wind.
Plenty of beer.
Well, I interviewed a guy Sunday, and he said, I want to be on that show where y'all just sit around and talk about stuff and drink beer. That's the show I want to be on.
Yeah, right. I've got an interesting lady I think we're going to have to see about getting on your like me.
Well, send her to me. I like it.
She is she's an incredible lady. She plays the gambling tournaments, you know.
Oh, yeah?
Really?
Plays poker.
Boy.
It's all the tournaments. She's made like 49 final tables in these tournaments.
Oh,
you know,
man.
For Texas Hold'em.
No kidding.
Lady.
Get me some information on her. Did you hear the music, I guess? While you're adding stuff to your skillet there, we're going to take a little break.
All right, let's do that. I just added some chicken broth, and I'm going to bring this up to temperature and come back on the other side. We'll catch everybody up.
And we'll talk about how we chopped up that beef bouillon cube, because he'll get away from you if you're not careful.
You got to watch those.
They'll jump clear across the kitchen. I've done that. All right, we're cooking in the dark with Dale Campbell. Don Shaw is here. Tom Houston's here. I'm Phil Parr. Be back in just a second. Hang on. Point of the Blind Handyman Show is blind people have as many plumbing problems and household repairs to do as sighted people do, but we can't do them exactly the same way sighted people do, so we need some input from other blind people to find out how they do household repairs, and so we started this Blind Handyman, and we got a list going. And as far as Blind Like Me is concerned, we want to use it as an educational tool. As I remember being a young adult, a young person, and thinking, well, how am I going to, I want to a nice house and as kids and a good job, but how am I going to do that? And I had just had no idea. And I think the Blind Like Me show demonstrates the fact that it can be done even if you are blind. That's not a handicap. It can be done.
If you would like to be a guest on either show, or you can suggest someone as a guest, email us at blindhandyman@hotmail.com or blindlikeme@txucom.net.
Well, so far, it's been a labor of love. Do you know about the Blind Handyman listserv?
The thing I like the best about the Blind Handyman list, great place. Exchange information and gather ideas on anything to do with being a handyman around the house.
I found out how to fix my garbage disposal on the handyman list. And it works.
If you'd like to join the Blind Handyman list, send a blank email to blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
The thing I like about the Blind Handyman list, I'm the moderator, and I can delete you if I want to. So don't get out of line. Stay on topic.
That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
This is the Blind Handyman. Be sure and tell a friend about the program and email us often from blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, here's more of the show with Don Shaw.
All right, we are back and we're cooking today and we're just having a good old time here.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we Dale Campbell.
Are you there?
Dark, man.
Tell us how you chopped up the beef bouillon cube to keep the damn thing from flying across the kitchen.
I just held it between my fingers and just had a sharp knife and just kind of chopped right through it. But you're right, breaking that dude down the first time.
Sometimes we'll get you in trouble.
Now, sometimes people will even take them and just crush them.
Really?
With the butt end of the knife.
Yeah.
Depending on how hard it is. These are kind of soft for some reason, which is fine by me.
Yeah, and so you laid it on a saucer and just cut it with
a knife? Yeah, I just laid it on a cutting board and just kind of chopped right through it, sliced it right up.
Once it kind of started, I always put it on a saucer because it won't get away from me. It seemed like
I don't know. Locate that way.
Yeah, you can kind of keep track of it.
Could you put it in a Ziploc bag and crush? You know, just just break out the hammer and crush
which
it.
You don't even have to crush it. It just helps it to break down quicker.
Yeah,
that's one of the big complaints. And Dan, the wine man, the gentleman that does some of the does some wine lines for us on the show, recommending different wines and this, that, and the other. Has a place that he buys online, and boy, the name of it escapes me. Soup Base or something like that, I believe.
I have that in my favorites. That's a great site, Dale.
That's where he gets, uses it to get, all those different bouillons and stuff, but he actually gets them in a paste.
Yeah,
really?
Like you can have, like toothpaste or something, so you just squeeze out what you want and makes it a little bit easier. No foil to try to deal with unwrapping or anything like that.
So how come I don't know about Dan the Wine Man?
I don't know.
Who is he? What does he do?
Do you not listen to the Cooking in the Dark show?
Well, I listen to the one I do. I listen to this one, but...
Dan came on. He writes a little column for us periodically for wines. And he started a wine list back in college, him and some friends. It's been going on for, gosh, I guess 13 years now. They've got some 4,000 members.
Dang. Man, what a deal.
And, I mean, I know enough about wine to go in and say, hey... Find somebody that knows something about them.
I know how to go buy. I buy the screw top $10 bottle. That's what I'm having right now, as a matter of fact.
All right.
And right now.
Now, I'm thinking, a little glass of red wine will go great with this dish.
I don't know if this is red or what it is. It's just wine. Blind people don't really care.
Nope.
Anyway, get me Dan the Wine Man. Let me do him, too, on Blind Like Me. All right?
Yeah, he'd be pretty interesting.
Go ahead.
He's a good guy. What I have done in the meantime, before I just kind of take you back through this recipe, what we've done here. And when we came in, y'all caught me chopping an onion up and starting to brown or fry the rice.
Right.
And what I did prior to that was I popped in 4 chicken breasts into the skillet and added about a cup of water, a cup and a half of water to them, and kind of just poached them, if you will. Kind of fried them a little bit.
Did you flip them during the process or not?
Flipped them and cooked them on both sides for about 4 minutes. So they were cooked almost all the way through.
Okay.
Not quite all the way through. And while we were on break there, I was just cutting those up, dicing them up into, maybe 1-inch chunks or so.
So you had already done this before the show?
Yeah, I'd already prepped the chicken.
Before the same...
On the air, because I'm just afraid of not having time.
This is the same skillet that you did the rice in?
Yeah, I rinsed it all out.
Okay.
Cleaned it all out, and away we go.
All right.
No sense dirtying 2 skillets.
No, that's what I say.
Candace, leaves doors open for me when I make too much of a mess in the kitchen.
Yeah.
That ain't a good thing, you know?
Yeah, I imagine. All right, so you're cutting those up. Dale?
Hey, Dale.
Did we lose Dale?
Hey, y'all there.
What happened?
Oh, technical difficulties.
Yeah.
Little headphone wire got in the way.
Oh, yeah. That'll
happen. At least it didn't get sliced in half.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just didn't cut your cord.
Things are looking up.
Things are looking up. We have a friend here with us who lent his skill saw to a guy that got cut the cord in two.
Damn sure did.
Yeah, he sure did, didn't he?
Yep.
Now, when I was young, I worked at a... I spent the summers with my grandparents, and they got me a job working for some friend of theirs at an ice cream parlor, you know, that was open.
Uh-huh.
You were there till 2 o'clock in the morning cleaning up.
I bet.
But anyway, about 6 o'clock that next morning, sure enough, you know, if I had a late night, Grandpa would be coming in there and getting me up. Hey, boy, come on.
Yeah.
You know, because he had had a stroke and stuff and lots of use of his right side, and Grandma would be out there trimming the hedges and inevitably whack that extension cord in half.
Yeah.
So I'd have to go splice it back together for
her.
Now, this cord brand new was orange, but by the time we got it was ready for Halloween. It had so much black electrical tape.
Had a lot of electrical tape on it. That will happen.
All around it.
Yeah.
What I'm adding to this rice casserole now, or this rice dish, is I dumped in the chicken, kind of stirred it around. With the chicken bouillon that we mixed up, I mixed up about a cup to a cup and a half of water with the chicken bouillon.
Mm-hmm.
Poured it in with the rice mixture. Put in the chicken. Now, if you want, you can add some green pepper. Add a little green onion on top of here. If you want to throw a little chicken poultry seasoning, a little poultry seasoning on here, you can do that.
Yeah.
I'm adding a can of mushroom soup, cream of mushroom over the top.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to add about a half a can of water.
Well, you could add either green chilies or Rotel tomatoes, I guess, if you wanted to.
Rotel would be awesome.
Would be great.
Wouldn't it be good?
I think so.
Rotel would be fantastic.
That would be my.
Add a little heat to it.
Yeah. Add a little jalapeno.
Yeah.
That'd be my thing.
And we are gone. I was going to make us this great recipe that I made one time, and I need to write to Cheryl and have her send it to me, because when I cut and pasted it and sent it to her, I guess it somehow... I meant to copy and paste, and I guess I cut and pasted.
Yeah.
When I went to open the file again, it was blank.
She got it and you don't. Yeah.
Damn mice, you know?
She's got it and you don't.
She's got it and I don't. And that's what I was going to make today, but
Oh, well.
We changed speeds here. This will be just as good.
Chicken and rice always good.
I was looking for something, too, that'd kind of be a one-skillet dish, something kind of easy for everybody. And, plus, we've got to go to an awards banquet tonight over at the school for the little girl.
Oh, yeah? She win an award of some kind?
Yeah, she won something. She goes, "You're invited to this awards banquet. Not everybody's invited." I'm like, cool.
Well, really cool.
Go check it out.
Yeah.
You know, Blind Weekend, I hope that I can talk her into coming up there and bringing her fiddle with her.
To our gathering in November?
Yeah. Maybe see if I can get her to play a little bit.
I didn't realize she's taking violin lessons.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
She is doing fantastic.
Is this something she wanted to do?
Yeah. Her electives in school, that's really good.
Is it?
Her electives choices were like drama, which we've since found out. That's where we were kind of pushing her to, because she likes to goof around and act. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
All they're doing is sitting around. They're not doing anything in there.
Really?
So we're like, okay, man, that's too bad. But orchestra seems to be the best little thing.
And she's, does she have her own little violin?
Yeah, got her own violin, a half size. Now, we're renting it. We didn't buy it. But.
Yeah, because you want to make sure you want, because that's going to be expensive when you buy her one.
About $800.
For a cheap one, yeah. And she's taking violin lessons.
Yeah, and she is doing great.
So she's learned a little song or two?
Yeah, she's learned quite a few of them.
All right.
Man, that
they
just knocks me out.
Pirates of the Caribbean right now.
It is, because violin is hard. You realize violin doesn't have any frets.
Nope.
I mean, you got to hear where you are, or that's wonderful.
Yeah, she is, and she's just doing great. So
she would probably get a kick out of seeing.
I listened to a recording of her that I made when she was practicing one night, and she didn't know I was recording her.
Yeah.
But you can hear her kind of dragging the bow across the strings when she changes notes and chords, you know, changes from string to string and stuff.
Yeah.
Now, that's entirely gone.
So she would enjoy seeing somebody play a fiddle.
I believe so.
Let me see if I can get my friend Robert Herridge, who played at Gillies 14 years, to come out.
Now that'd be...
I bet I can. If he doesn't have anything else to do, he'll ride out
see,
there.
It sounds like he puts the fiddle and violin.
He plays real nice fiddle. Good person. Known him. We've known him. Tom and I have known him about 30 years. I'll see if I can get him to come out, and maybe we can get her to come.
That would be,
also.
Yeah.
Let's see
we'll
what
have
we...
to see how it works out.
Okay.
That'd be really nice if that could happen.
By the way, folks, at the
Wing Ding in November,
that's
the first weekend of November, not only is it my birthday, but when we record the cooking show, let's see, I guess Don Patterson has got the worst attendance, doesn't he?
Okay. By far.
He's cooking.
You going to let him cook?
Yeah. I found this cool recipe. It's, what is it, strawberry shortcake for 50 people.
Is that right?
We may as well feed a bunch of them. So.
Might as well.
Somebody on the cooking list was needing, they were going to start cooking in a soup kitchen every now and then, and they wanted a whole, a list of big recipes they could do.
Yeah.
Really?
So we got all kinds of group, church social recipes, and, that strawberry shortcake for 50 caught my eye.
For 50?
Like, like 9 cups of flour. And
We know a little more about what we can do and can't do this time.
And I'm just teasing. I'm not. We'll make Don get up there and help me.
Well, he'd be happy to do that.
Oh, yeah.
He'd be happy.
That's cool.
Yeah.
In fact, I was thinking we need to have you guys. Now, Phil's been on the show already, but we need to have the rest of y'all on as guests.
That's a good idea. Don Shaw?
Yeah, that sounds like a plan to me.
Hang out with us while we do some cooking and BSing and stuff. And, Phil was on a show with us, show number 25, and then Mark Marvel from Austin, or from Dallas. He's a pretty cool guy.
Yeah, well, I thought you had Henry on the show also, didn't you?
Henry actually cooked for us.
Do you guys do that?
He made a dish for us, so.
Aren't you doing like a guest every month or a guest or two a month?
Worked it out is if people, what we'd like to have people do is donate $20 to the Mouthful Scholarships.
That's not a bad idea.
And then come on the show and be a guest.
Yeah, that sounds like a deal.
That way the scholarship fund will grow a little bit and everything will
That's
work.
That's right.
Yeah. Which, people, if you haven't submitted your essay, May the 19th is when the essays close.
That's the end.
Counting down, aren't we?
Yeah, getting close. And you can go to blindmysmart.com, click on the Mouthhole Scholarship link, and all the details are there, how to get an application, all that good stuff. But I tell you what, I worked my tail off this year for them kids, so I want to give this money away, make it worthwhile.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right, so All we, right. Cherry Cobbler?
Cherry Cobbler, we're going to do that?
Yeah, let's Cherry Cobbler.
I know nothing about making Cherry Cobbler.
This is going to be so easy and so sweet.
All right.
That's why I picked it out. It's only got, 1, 2, 3, about 5 ingredients, I think.
Yeah.
First thing we need is a casserole dish, about a 1.5 quart casserole dish.
One of those long casserole dishes.
And I'm going to spray it down with some...
Like everybody has one or two or three of.
Yeah. These are things you can't walk through a crazy mall or something and have somebody give you one for filling out a credit application.
Well, you got to have one. You got to have a couple, three of those.
And these are nothing great. These are just little Pyrex ones. But, man, they sure are nice to have around just for stuff like this.
Or for baking fish or making, whatever.
First thing we need to do is get our dish prepped, I guess. And
so you're doing what?
To do that, we're going to need, a can opener.
Can opener.
See, I had a little toe injury.
Yeah,
I
heard about that.
I've been out of the kitchen, and my wife has been in here.
And what has she done?
So, hence...
Move things around, huh?
Yeah, man.
I bought a new can opener. Because the old one is one we brought from Norris Street. It was 15 years old. It worked fine for me, but Luann didn't like it. So I finally bought a new one and put it up. And the other day, I really got tickled. I don't know why this can opener won't work. What's wrong with this can opener? What, do you wanted the new one, baby? So we got
Now, this was the new one?
This is the new one. She couldn't get the new one to work. I had to ended up opening the can. The new one, you have to kind of slant the can away from the can opener or something. I finally figured out how to... But you had to put the can at just the right angle. The old one, you just stuck something up there and pushed a button, and it opened it.
Yes.
But she wasn't happy with that. So we got the new one. I threw the old one away.
Boy, I tell you what, those under the counter, we don't have room for one here.
Yeah.
I love the under the counter ones.
This isn't under the counter, but you had to drill 4 holes to mount it. You had to drill four holes down through the thing of the. Of course, it's just pine cabinets, but.
You know how I did that?
How?
I put that template over a piece of cardboard.
Yeah.
and I had the girls punch the holes for me.
Yeah.
The holes went off that little template thing.
Yeah.
And then I just marked it that way.
I just put the template in, up
good
in
idea.
The. I cleared the glasses out of the cabinet.
Right.
Laid the template up in the cabinet, drilled one hole, got it straight with the back of the cabinet, drilled the second hole, and just kept drilling those four holes, and then came up from the bottom, and it worked fine.
Yep.
Because they give you several of those, because you might want to put it down, your lip on the cabinet maybe, so there was about a half dozen of those little...
Oh, yeah, that's right, those little extra space
plastic
pieces.
Space things in there, and so...
Cool.
Anyway, it wasn't near as big a project as I thought it was going to be, but it ended all...
Okay, the second step for this cobbler, once you find your can opener and open your can of cherries...
and you finally found it.
It was just a can of cherry pie filling. It was a 21-ounce can.
Okay.
You want to turn your oven on to bake at 400 degrees.
400 degrees.
And you want to slide this into a cold oven.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Bring this up to 400.
Yeah, it's like our new oven. You got to touch the little touch button, and then it beeps.
And they're all it's a whirlpool, and they're all tactile, so the buttons have a different touch than the rest of the that flat screen, so you know where you're at.
Oh, that's cool.
So you drop
it. Always comes on at 350.
You've put the this pie filling in this Pyrex dish.
I'm sorry.
You put the pie filling in the Pyrex dish.
Yeah, put the pie filling in the Pyrex dish. Slide that into a cold oven,
okay,
and turn your oven on to bake at 400 degrees.
And that's it.
You want to let that go for about 10 minutes.
Okay.
That's going to warm up your cherries. Now, in another bowl, you want to combine 1 cup of Bisquick and 1/4 cup. Of milk.
All right.
Get that added here.
All right.
The measuring cup.
All right.
And to do this, I'm just going to hold the measuring cup over the bowl, kind of with my finger in just near the top.
And fill the measuring cup up.
I can fill it, feeling, through the metal measuring cup.
And then turn it over.
Yeah, and then once I feel it start to get to my finger, and start to flow over, I boink.
Just flip it over. That'd be the easiest way.
Dale, while you're cooking on that, I just thought of something. You talking about that measuring and doing that just reminded me. I read either on your list or the Blind Like Me list. I'm not sure now which one it was on, but the guy that or the folks that are doing the TV version of the cooking show are going into their recording their second season now. So I guess they've
cooking
done pretty well.
Looking.
Yeah,
they're trying to get picked up and syndicated in some other markets, but
I'd like to see that show. I'd like to hear it. And
yeah, I'm going to write them and ask them to send me a copy because I called them last year and tried to work out a deal where I knew I was going to be in the area and tried to get a deal where I could come be on the show with them.
Oh yeah,
and they
wanted
me to send them a videotape of me cooking, and I'm like, okay. I'll get to that right away.
Yeah.
but the guy that's cooking's not blind, is he?
I believe he is.
I think so.
Impaired.
Yeah,
but
if
he's
not. I don't think he's total, but I may be mistaken. If somebody knows, let us know.
It's on in one market in Florida, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Whereas we're on nationwide.
Oh, yeah. Worldwide.
All across
worldwide.
The world. Excuse me. I didn't mean to get
somebody
into that.
Somebody blind can see as much on this show as they can see on a TV show.
That's a blind person. Yeah, I thought the same thing. What's the point in doing a cooking show for blind people on television? Doesn't make any sense to me.
I just added tablespoon of granulated sugar.
Okay.
And I'm going to do the same with cinnamon.
Okay.
So we've got 1 cup of Bisquick, 1/4 cup of milk.
Teaspoon of sugar and 1 teaspoon of cinnamon.
Teaspoon of sugar keeps the doctor away.
With that music that Tom's got going, it sounds like we want to cook Chinese food, doesn't it?
Right?
A little Chinese kind of sound music. We're going to take a little break while you kind of assemble this.
While we're on break, I'm just going to mix this stuff up, make a little batter out of it, and we'll be right back on the other side.
You got our stuff in the oven, right?
Yeah.
You got our thing, and you got the chicken is just sort of on the stove steeping, or what?
The stove on low with a lid on it, just simmering away, letting all those great flavors melt together.
And the rice and chicken are all in one skillet.
All in one
together.
Skillet.
So we're going to cook finish cooking those chicken breasts very slow.
Right, very slow in the juices, so it'll kind of
And they're chopped up, right?
And they're chopped up, yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm hungry, and we'll be back in just a minute. More Cooking in the Dark. Dale Campbell, Tom Houston, Don Shawn. I'm Phil Parr. Hang on.
What the fuck? arm is easy. It's somewhere over here. Oh, God, I've got my cane caught in something.
Pardon me, sir. I don't know how to tell you this, but the end of your cane is stuck in my...
Why bother shopping the big discount stores when you can shop from the comfort of your own home at BlindMySmart.com?
Hi, this is Dale Campbell, president of Blind My Smart. If you can't find what you're looking for today, check back tomorrow. We're adding new products every day.
Blind My Smart, with thousands of products at a completely accessible website. Our address is blindmysmart.com. Again, that's www.blindmysmart.com.
Well, the whole point of the Blind Handyman Show is blind people have as many plumbing problems and household repairs to do as sighted people do, but we can't do them exactly the same way sighted people do, so we need some input from other blind people to find out how they do household repairs, and so we formed this, started this Blind Handyman, and we got a list going. And as far as blind like me is concerned, we want to use it as an educational tool. As I remember being a young adult, a young person, and thinking, well, how am I going to, I want to a nice house and as kids and a good job. How am I going to do that? And I had just had no idea. I think the Blind Like Me Show demonstrates the fact that it can be done even if you are blind. That's not a handicap. It can be done.
If you would like to be a guest on either show, or you can suggest someone as a guest, email us at blindhandyman@hotmail.com or blindlikeme@txucom.net.
Well, so far, it's been a labor of love.
You are listening to The Blind Handyman, the talk of the blind community. Our email address is blindhandyman@hotmail.com. If you would like to be part of the show, leave us a phone number and we will contact you soon. Now, here's more of today's show with Phil Parr.
Dale, I owe you an apology.
Okay, I'll take it.
You and Tim sent me 2 weeks ago some commercials that you all had put together for Mother's Day. And it just now dawned on me, I never did put those on CD or run them.
Oh, yeah. Mother's Day's over.
Is Mother's Day? Mother's Day's not over.
Well, for ordering, yeah.
For ordering, it's over.
I mean, you can still order, if you're hearing this, you can still order from Blind Mice for Mother's Day, but you're going to need to use Rush Delivery.
You need to use Rush Delivery.
Yeah.
Usually
you have to order about 2 weeks ahead of time. Now, some areas, if you're out west, you're probably still going to have to use Rush Delivery.
When is Mother's Day?
May the 14th.
Which is a week from Sunday.
Week from this Sunday.
Well,
yeah.
I apologize. I forgot all about that. I put them in my computer, and I got busy and just didn't. Someone should have reminded me.
That's cool.
But
I'm
anyway,
going to hit you up for some new handyman ads. And,
we'll do that.
I was going to say some blind rifle ads, but goodness gracious, we had to reorder shirts. We're out of shirts.
Is that right?
Really?
Yeah, I pulled
That's
them out
good.
The other day to fill a couple orders, and we're down to like two mediums, and you know we're out of larges, and we've got a few extra larges left. But
well, that's a good thing, isn't it?
And sex, too, and we're darn near out of sex shirts.
I figure.
What a deal.
I figure the gathering in November will sell out of Blind Handyman shirts.
I think so. I mean, that's I love the hats.
Yeah, everybody loves
everywhere.
It. Everybody loves the logo, designed by our own personal in-house designer, Tom Houston.
Right.
All right. We have in-house graphics here.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
The graphics designer.
Our in-house
there you go.
Graphics. All right, go ahead, sir. Cook.
Let me, I'm going to stir up the chicken over here.
All right.
Kind of check on it real quickly.
Yeah.
All right. Watch that cord.
Yeah, we're having problems today.
You are.
Yeah, cut that cord, man.
I am looking into getting a pair of headless.
Wireless headset.
Headphones.
Yeah, some wireless headphones.
And a new telephone. And a new telephone. I think Tim is going to. Tim would just. You know, I don't. He's just really very unhappy with you because your phone is level is.
I tell you, the levels are terrible.
Level is. Well, it is. It's low. It is low. I'll give him that. It's low.
I had seen a system that's the wireless and it's all.
Yeah.
Still going through the phone lines, but you're going through their base unit. So.
That's what you need. If you're going to. You're going to do these.
Exactly
that's what you. But you know, it's really funny.
You
do one interview, and a guy's phone will be about like yours, kind of low, and then you do the next guy will be just. And you know that the phone line is a phone line.
Yeah.
So you don't know what to, you want to ask the guy. What kind of phone? You bought a loud phone. Would you go to Walmart and ask for a loud phone?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, what do you do?
I think it's the crazy. Well, you know, a long time ago when we lived in the townhouse, I used to call you, and we'd be snapping and cracking and popping.
Yeah.
And then I'd call you back, and it'd be perfect.
Yeah.
It just depends, you know, what line just, I get between here and Lufkin.
And my internet's been off for 4 days, and that's the phone company's fault. And I know they'll be apologizing to me for that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you
be
know.
Calling and saying, Mr. Parr, we'd like to take this off your bill.
I know they'll deduct the fees for the last 4 days.
I know they'll deduct
it
for the last 4 days that I've been going nuts without the internet.
Yeah.
Well, and how many times did you go in there and check it? Probably 5,000?
For a half dozen times a day, and we got another modem and brought it over here and hooked it up and got another router, you know, all kind of, it's got to be our fault.
Exactly.
And sure enough, it wasn't.
That's after you get to talk to India and Kenya and all over the damn
place. Right. So you started, you got the chicken, started with a ladle.
Got the chicken all kind of stirred up. It's good. And just got it on real low. Right. And all the flavors just kind of mesh together. We're going to pull out the cherry cobbler. We're on the countdown there. What I did was, while we were on break, I went ahead and mixed up the Bisquick and the milk and the sugar. And got a little ball of that.
Yep. Where are the cherries? We haven't put any cherries in this yet.
Oh, the cherries are in the they're in the casserole dish. Remember?
Oh, they're in the pie filling thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
The oven kind of, it's just cherry pie filling.
Okay.
Which makes this really such a nice easy dish. No cherries the whole.
Yeah.
We were at my dad's last summer, and his wife goes, "Well, what do y'all want for dessert?" You know, and she named off all this stuff, and we decided on a cherry pie. Well, that's cool. Next thing I know, man, she whips out some flour and makes the, you know, the crust, and then they pull out these cherries that they had picked off somebody's tree and picked all of them, and I'm like, wow.
Man.
That's a lot of damn work.
Now we've got to sit here and hold these cherries, right?
Yeah.
Not me.
I tell you what, that was the best cherry pie I'd ever had. Well,
I bet
it was. I
didn't
do anything to make it. But what I'm going to do now with this batter is basically just kind of pull it out in about, tablespoon-sized chunks. And you just kind of set it across the top. I'm going to kind of flatten it a little bit, but just leave it kind of rough and just set it across the top of the cherries in the casserole. Now, be careful when you touch. I've got a kitchen grip on one hand.
Yeah, that dish is going to be hot, isn't it?
It's kind of warm, and I'm kind of using the kitchen grip to line up where I'm putting it at. Now, the cherries aren't too hot yet. They're warm, but not real hot.
So this batter that you made, you just, this Bisquick and sugar and milk that you mixed up, you're just laying that kind of across the...
Just kind of putting it in lumps.
Yeah.
Across the top.
And then you're going to take a ladle and spread it out, or what?
No, I've just kind of laid it all across the top, on top of the cherries.
Uh-huh.
And it pretty much fills up about the... I mean, there's still going to be some areas of cherries underneath it.
Uh-huh.
But it pretty much fills up the entire casserole.
Uh-huh.
And you just leave it in big lumps like that on top. Well, big lumps, about, you know, tablespoon size or so.
Mm-hmm.
Now I've got a little cinnamon and sugar mix.
Now, with your hand, with the kitchen grip on one hand, you were holding or touching the dish.
Right. I was
using
that to kind of line up where I was at.
So you knew where your other hand was going.
Right.
In accordance with your left hand, you knew what your right hand was going to, how your right hand was going to do. If you put
right.
it here, then you don't put it here again.
Right.
Okay.
So I was just using that kind of to see with. So
I got you.
And did it kind of so I wouldn't burn myself.
That'd be good.
Yeah, it's bad when you hear that steak sizzling and you realize,
Yeah, but... You're not going to burn. You touch things quick. You're not going to burn yourself.
No. And, you know, like a guy wrote in on a list a long time ago and said that what he does, whenever he cooks, he keeps a little bowl of water nearby.
Yeah.
And he just, whenever he knows he's going to be touching something hot.
Cool your fingers
in there real quick. Comes out and keeps himself from being burned. All right. So our cobbler is going to go back in the oven for about 20 minutes, 20 to 25 minutes at 400 degrees.
Yeah.
And that is it.
That was pretty easy, wasn't
it? These little ingredients, like these little quick cobblers are just so great.
Yeah,
one of my
quick and easy.
Is an apple. But the worst part about it is that you've got to take 6 apples and peel them and slice them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I ain't doing that.
Man, apple, though, is my favorite. I just really like it. But, yeah, it's more trouble. But I guess, can you not buy, like, a canned apple filling?
Yeah, you can buy those. But I tell you what I did buy. I just got in through Progressive. We're test driving. And it's an apple peeler, cutter, slicer gadget all in one.
Wait a minute.
Really?
You sent me a deal that cores and slices an apple.
Right.
Very nicely.
Yes. That's a cool little thing there.
It is. You just...
It's flat, and then the cutting is in, you know, the cutting grill is inside it. You just line up the... Do you find it pretty easy to line up with the core?
It's not bad at all. Push it down through there, and bingo, you know.
Yeah, it's got a circle in the very center that cuts down through the core, and then it bands out, and I think it cuts into 8 slices or something like that. This other device that I just got, it's like a big cast iron thing that you put on the countertop,
mm-hmm.
and it has 3 spikes on one end that's attached to a threaded rod.
Mm.
And you stick your apple on that with the core side, you know, kind of in the middle of those 3 pins.
Okay.
3 pins kind of form a triangle.
And you pull it back through.
And then you kind of pull it back to the right, put the apple on, and then as you turn the handle, the threaded rod, of course, spins it through a peeling head and then a cutting and slicing head.
You bet. I got to see one. That'd be neat.
They are nice. I mean, you just clamp it down to the sink, and, I mean, it'll do potatoes. I wonder if this thing will peel a potato.
Sure it would.
And it did. You know, pears, apples, but now you just run it right through there. So we have fruit quite a bit now. I mean, nothing to put 2 or 3 apples on there and run them through, and they're sliced into like those little spiral cut slices, and it's cored and peeled all in one shooting mat.
The problem with us anal retentive guys, me and Don Shaw, if I peel a potato, I feel like I waste way too much potato.
Yeah.
Oh, it's tough.
You know, I've just wasted.
I mean, you can sit there and peel in one area over and over again, or. Do you peel with a knife or a peeler?
I peel usually with a little paring knife.
Yeah. Those are tough. You know, it's tough to just get that skin off without, you know, and you definitely don't want to take the tip of your finger off.
Well, you don't want to lose too much potato either.
No.
You know, you want to be, that'd be a neat thing. I may have one of those.
It's a pretty cool little gadget. We do November for sure, I'll bring it up, but hopefully we'll see y'all before then.
Oh, yeah.
But, it's pretty nice. Pretty nice. And where the cutting and all that in, you know, the peeling and the cutting head are all at one end of it, so it's cast iron, and I just put that part under the sink and rinse it off with some hot water and a little soapy sponge, and away we go.
So I guess you'll be the only exhibitor at our November gathering, is that right?
I guess so. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Hey, are you guys going to go to Corpus in September?
I can't.
To Texas?
I can't because I'm going to Alaska.
Okay. Can we go to Alaska with you?
Yeah. Come on. We booked an Alaska cruise, Luann and some college friends of hers and people that we've been associated with are all. I think there's us and another blind husband and wife, or actually blind man and his sighted wife, and 2 or 3 other couples who are all booked an Alaska cruise.
Fantastic.
And it's going to end on, I think the convention starts on the 17th or something, and we get home on the 15th. I really can't see Luann driving me to Corpus.
No, you guys
are
wore out.
It'll be time to come home. I'm going to. They called us and asked us to come and do a handyman show.
Right.
But there's just no way.
We had. We're tentatively planning on it. We just need to see what the school year schedule comes out and looks like.
Yeah.
And Candace's grandfather lives down there. So we may go down there and do that again.
I lived down there for about 6 months one time, being a little lady friend of mine.
Right.
Decided we'd move to Corpus. We didn't stay together long, thank God. Favors.
Yeah.
But it's...
Now, you all go down there for summer, too, right?
We go to Padre, South Padre, in the summer.
Tell you what, if the Hooks are playing in town that night, or, you know, during the time when you guys are going to be down there, it's worth the drive back up there to take in a ball game.
I think John and my wife's brother and his son did that last year.
It is, it's fun. Now, we went cruising in there, I guess this was over Easter weekend, and they were at home. You know, we walked into the stadium, and I told an usher I need one of those devices, you know, so I can hear the game. And she goes, okay, I'll be right back. And she came back and said, you know, JJ says we don't have any. I'm like, well, who's JJ? Well, he's the president and general manager.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, okay, tell JJ I need to talk to him. And, you know, go ahead and bring your list of attorneys with him.
Yeah.
And you know what? Guess what? They had one.
They brought you one, didn't they?
Found one.
Listen, real quick, run over what we've done today, because we're about gone.
Today we did a quick little chicken casserole dish. What we did was 1 cup of rice in the skillet. I took 4 chicken breasts prior to that and browned them and kind of poached them, if you will, with a little bit of water. So they kind of cooked up, not all the way through, about 4 minutes on each side of the boneless, skinless chicken breast. Pulled those out, put them on a plate off to the side, washed the skillet out real quick, put it back on the stove, put 2 rounds of olive oil in it, added a cup of rice, and browned that rice in the olive oil on about a medium to medium-low heat for about 4 or 5 minutes. We added some onions and carrots to that, added a about a cup and a half of chicken broth. I made it with water and the bouillon. You can use the canned stuff if you like. That's cool, mm-hmm. too. And then we put the chicken back in, added a can of cream of mushroom soup, added about a half a can of water to that, and stirred it up a little bit, and just basically it's on the back burner just simmering.
But you could add cream, because my wife won't eat mushrooms, you could add cream of chicken soup also.
You could add chicken just as easily. You could add cream of celery.
Would do just as well.
Like we talked about, throw some Rotel tomatoes in there. That'd be a great thing.
That's what I'd do.
And rice is really going to pull a lot of that chicken broth taste into it.
Yeah.
If you add some Rotel in there, the chicken's going to pick that up and so will the rice a little bit. But, man, that'll be an excellent little...
It would be.
Your taste buds will be dancing.
So it's supper time. It's supper time. Candace will be home in just a little bit, won't
Candace
she?
Will be home in a little bit. Little girl will be here. We'll eat and boogie on to the awards.
And it's time to do
if
it.
If anybody wants any of these recipes, send me an email to cookinginthedark@houston.rr.com. And, again, that's Cooking in the Dark, all lowercase, all squished together, at houston.rr.com.
And don't forget about Blind Mice Mart. Is it blindmicemart.com?
Blindmicemart.com.
Lots of stuff there to look at.
Lots of stuff to get, and mainly the Mouse Hole Scholarships, they close May the 19th.
All right, sir.
If you're a high school senior, send us an application. You might win 500 beans.
We want to thank you. And we'll talk to you in a day or two, and I'll be in touch in the morning.
Y'all have a great day.
Thank you, sir. Thanks, Tom Houston, Don Shaw.
Yeah.
We'll see you next time. More blind. I think we're going to Pat's house next week. We'll tell you more about that later. I'm Phil Parr. I see, said the blind man, as he picked up his hammer and saw.
The Blind Handyman is produced by Out of Market Productions, 1604 Southwood Drive, Lufkin, Texas. Phone 936-634-9500.